Psalm 24. I need you to just do, if you want to turn to Psalm 24, that's what Dennis just read that, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to pick up at the last stanza of this song of David. Fitting, I think, for this Palm Sunday. This is David speaking, but just hear the Lord Jesus giving him this song. Listen to this song that Jesus gave him through the mouthpiece of King David. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Dear Lord, we know that you are that King of glory. And as we think of Jesus on the crest of the Mount of Olives, looking down at the shining city of Jerusalem, understanding every person in it, understanding all that would put them on that road that he was traveling on. We pray, Father, that we would, by your Spirit, take this in. And may we be alert to understanding just a little bit more and maybe a lot more in awe of this King of glory. He is the King of glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. And I encourage you all, we're blessed to have electronic Bibles. If you can underline things in your electronic Bible, wonderful. I also encourage you to do that if you've got a Bible you can underline with pen, or just take this in. We want to see as best as we can, guided by the Spirit, what's going on here. Verse 1, I'll read all these verses. As they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples, saying, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey or a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and while others branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables and the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer." My house will be called a house of prayer. "But you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," Jesus replied. "Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. I want us all to just think today, kind of in a sense be right alongside Jesus, but maybe even more. I want us to process this. I can't imagine what was going through Jesus' mind. He knew everything that was going to take place. I mean, it was a great way to start the day out. He got up. He'd come through Bethany and after leaving Jericho, and he'd worked his way up kind of more than 3,000 feet and about 17 miles. He's overlooking now. He's gone through Bethany and Bethpage. And he's looking down at the city of Jerusalem, the holy city. It's a spectacular view. We were blessed to go there one time. I mean, it's just like, it just presses in on your mind and heart. What I clearly remember from being there was Nancy Schultz. Nancy'd had a really, really bad back, and she was in pain. And she was really in a lot of pain, and there was a camel, and a person that would make a little bit of money if we could get on the camel. And I did it, but it wasn't nearly as spectacular as Nancy with the bad back getting on there, because the back of the saddle would just, as the camel kind of did its thing to kind of wind its way up, she was getting tossed around and her back thrust into that saddle. And she was good the rest of the trip. That was a chiropractic camel, I think. But so that was a spectacular thing. But really, the spectacular thing was following a path that was probably much like the crowd took. As they had heard about Jesus coming, they had heard for days he was on his way from Jericho, and he's healing people. He's healing people right over the Mount of Olives, and he's doing these spectacular things. And they know the advance word is he's coming, and they started to make their way up. And Jesus had called for his disciples to go and get this animal. You know, as he works his way down that mountain, through the over the crest of the the Mount of Olives. And down through an area probably like we walked through, it's a cemetery. And then down through the Garden of Gethsemane, and on in through the Kidron Valley, through which David at one time fled to get out of Jerusalem when his life was in danger. And then up a hill, the Zion, the Mount Zion, and on up further toward the temple. Why did all this happen? You know, Jesus planned it all. He planned it. It was no accident that he knew that there would be a donkey there with her young, with the colt. And as some translations say, this foal, a beast of burden. And Jesus was well aware of the text from Zechariah 9. He was aware that it said, "Behold your king who comes, gentle and riding on a donkey." He set it up. He really is. He says, this one who's on the back of that colt is also the sovereign God of the universe. And it wasn't that he just looked down the road that there, I think that there's got to be a donkey around here somewhere and a young one. This was all going according to the script that he wanted them to be fully aware of. Now, there's a side of this that was, Jesus had so many opportunities before this to say, "I'm here. Can you wrap your mind around this? I'm here." I mean, feeding 5,000. Pretty spectacular day. It was really spectacular. So spectacular that when Jesus got in a boat and he went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, that he was followed. And they came with the express purpose, it says in John chapter 6, they came with the expressed purpose of making him, forcing him to be king. They wanted a free lunch every day. And this was, I mean, look at this program. He could have done the whole thing right there. Let me part the Sea of Galilee. I'll show you. And now that you've offered me the chance to be your king, I mean, what an opportune moment. He healed people and he said, "Tell no one." He appears with Moses, Mount of Transfiguration, and the disciples, Peter, James, and John said, "Let us build a place of honor and worship to you right here in this spot. This is the time." He said, "No, don't talk about this to anyone." He kept on turning it down. And now, just a week away, 5 days away from the bottom falling out of this really, really cool moment, just upbeat as can be, he's coming down that mount and making his way into the valley and then up to the holy mountain, the holy hill. I don't know. I think you go from a great day to a downer. I mean, what's going to happen the next day? The very next day. Well, Mark is the one. Turn to the book of Mark, chapter 11. Mark is the one who kind of puts this in chronological order. The synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this is such an important day that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all capture this day, because it gives us this spectacular picture of Jesus approaching Jerusalem. Just days before it all seems to melt down. But after they had been singing these songs, and look at verse 9, those who went ahead of, this is Mark 11, verse 9, those who went ahead of them and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem, and what did he do? He went to the temple. Oh, I know what he does there. No, not that day. Not after the ride. Not immediately after the ride. He went to the temple, and he looked around at everything. But since it was already late, he went out and back up the Mount of Olives to Bethany with the 12. And then he came back to town, and he cleansed the temple. The scene is, the complexity of this is once again profound. Jesus rode on a colt, and there's all sorts of things we can just try to capture in our mind. But this was a colt. The synoptics tell us that it was this young donkey upon which no one had ridden. And what did he have to look forward to? Pretty rough ride, right? Why? Because it was unbroken. Unbroken. But this is, there's, in keeping even with the words of Zechariah, in Zechariah 9:9, in keeping with that, he's riding on the back of that donkey, and things are well. And he is, oh, just look at Zechariah 9. Zechariah 9, it's, just listen as I read it. How does he appear on the back of this? "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. Righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Well, he really knows how to put on a show, doesn't he? Was he just kind of reading this and meditating on this text and trying to figure out, what am I going to do to set this up? Well, he set it up. But he set it up to say that what these people had said all along, his people, his prophets, the one coming is Messiah. He's the one who will deliver us. But they just didn't even have a clue as to how big that delivery was going to be, from which they would be delivered, which was their sin and their guilt and the promise of reigning with him in glory. As it is, when this is taken into Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this text, it leaves that one little bit of a phrase, righteous and having salvation. The focus at this moment in the Gospels is on the fact that he is coming as the gentle Messiah, not as a conquering military king riding on a steed, on a horse. He's coming riding on this young colt, this beast of burden. It's all woven into this whole picture, and this whole week is woven into a picture of an amazing Savior who had complete, ultimately, complete say as to what would go on. Well, they've been doing this praising and this shouting. Verse 9, the crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed. The parade continues in front and behind, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were blessing Jesus. What does it mean to, was it just like, well, bless you. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, miracle worker. Bless you, Messiah. Dare we call you Messiah? We use that word bless a lot in so many different ways. So often I find myself in over the last number of years signing off on a lot of letters with just a blessings. I mean it, blessings. May you be given, God knows what your needs are. May you discover, may you see that he's met all of those needs. He knows you at the depths of who you are, and whether you're going through physical pain or emotional pain, or you've got questions and you don't know where to go from here, God blesses us, and we bless each other when we say to God, bless my dear friend. She's suffering right now. She needs, deep in her soul, she's wondering why. Just give her strength at the level of the soul. Give her courage right now. And we are so thankful when people bless us, aren't we? Bless you. Because we know that they're not just saying, I'm with you in this. They're saying, I'm praying God's blessings over you at this moment. So were they just blessing Jesus by saying, Lord knows you? This was another use of, probably another use of this word to say that it could have almost been synonymous with praise you, God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise him. This one who comes in the name of the Lord. It could be describing an intense gaze of the soul on, now I'm getting it a little bit about this person that we've heard about all along. It, adoration and a confession of how much greater he is than they ever could imagine. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It was all in keeping with this plan that Jesus had that dated back to the prophets and dated back as far as the book of Genesis. This thing that would happen as God would deliver his people. Let's stop there, verse 10. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred, and they asked this question, who is this? Who is this? It's been quite a day. Quite a day and a half. Who is this? And what a great question. How do you answer that question today? Who is he? Who is he? What have you done with Jesus? Who is this? The crowds answered back, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Pretty straightforward answer. Some of them were getting it. And over the next few days, some would get a little bit more. But they would continue to ask this honest question, who is this? At the beginning of this message, I said, in a sense, we need to see a little bit more clearly who this is. We're trying to wrap our minds and heart around this one who's got this whole picture in mind as to where this is going and how the week is going to appear to crash and burn. He knows exactly why he started with this proclamation. And he knows how he will be lifted up in glory at the end of this week. Well, Jesus stirs things up, and we read Mark chapter 11, verse 11. Jesus entered Jerusalem, and he went into the temple, and he looked around. Can you just with my soul, I'm trying to see just a little bit more from his perspective what he was seeing as he walked around, and he walked out. This was a large area that opened to the east, and there were people all over this court of the Gentiles, and it was in the court of the Gentiles and beyond the reach of that as well. There were buyers and sellers, and there were money changers. And Jesus saw this as if, and he was taking an assessment of all this was and taking it in, again, not just so that he could just put this on a list of things that were wrong. Can we imagine what was going on in his soul? All the way down the hill, all the way down through the Mount of Olives and the Kidron Valley and coming up, he was fully aware of the people that were in front of him. And we sang about the children in the very first song, and the children sang. And he's looking and seeing all of these people, not missing a bit, and up to the temple mound and into the temple area, it says, the area around the temple. And he's taking it all in. I would have been probably saying, where are they? Where is it? Another round of the song again, please. My heart is broken. Because I've cared about this place for hundreds of years. And I know that so many of the things going on in this place have been absolutely just a mindless show. He takes it all in. And then he gestures for his disciples to follow him, and they walk out and back up the Mount of Olives and out to the town of Bethany, and they stay overnight there. And then he re-entered the next day. Once again, Matthew captures this. Jesus entered the temple, verse 12 area, and he drove out all those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables and the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. You've got your notes. I wanted to call your attention to a question. Question number 4 on the back. I'd love to be part of a conversation with some of you as you'd answer this. Jesus is gentle. Jesus is gentle and majestic. That's kind of the picture we got, wasn't it? When he's riding on the donkey. He's gentle and majestic. And then he aggressively throws the sellers of the merchandise and the money changers out of the temple. How do you hold, this is a serious question, how do you hold these two thoughts at the same time? How do you keep that together? He's gentle. And he's wild. He's unpredictable. Which table is he going to overthrow now? And he's got probably as some images have, he's got in some accounts, a whip in his hand. And he's driving them out. How do you hold those two thoughts in your mind? Well, it's the same God who says, I love you. It's that same God who is kind to us and understanding, and his love is loyal. It is faithful love. And at the same time, he's a God who says, judgment has now come upon you. And the reason why some of you are, as we talked about even last week, the reason why some of you are sick and some of you are dying is because you seem to have forgotten you're dealing with a righteous God who also is just. And my justice is kind. It is forgiving. It goes all the way to the cross. It's my justice. But I won't put up with this forever. And that's who you're dealing with. The last section, verses 15. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he was doing, the blind and lame came to him and they were healed. The chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things that he did. And it was the children. I'm sure the kids were getting on his nerves, on their nerves. They were getting on the Pharisees' nerves. Hosanna to the Son of David. Why did they go there with that song again? Again and again and again. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna. I mean, this is what children do. They had this is pretty catchy. And it's on and on. And they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? Not here. These are children. They're next to nothing. Who cares about the children? And Jesus replied, have you never read from the lips of children and infants, I have ordained praise. You, Lord, have ordained praise. Scandalous! I remember when we first came here, you know, people have different, you grow up with different worship rules, right? Come on, you've probably got your own set of worship rules. Our first Sunday here in church, we had just moved halfway across the country from Minnesota, Southern California, and it was our first Sunday. And my family was sitting right over here. And this could have been the last Sunday that happened. Somebody, one of the dear saints, walked up to one of my kids and said, get your hat off in church. I bet you couldn't guess who that one was. Don't say it out loud. But I'm not kidding. I thought, I'm sitting right beside that child, and I thought, welcome to California. So glad to have you at Calvary. You don't wear a hat in church, unless you're a woman. Oh, it was, you know, well, this is, This was so inappropriate, according to the Pharisees, whose religion was all for show. And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. So who is Jesus? Who is this? This week, as you traverse this week, in and out of settings where there might be praiseworthy music, and in and out of different places of business, sitting alone with a hot beverage and your Bible open. This week, I want to encourage you, even in the next day, just read the four accounts. They're short. They're very short. And ask you, Lord, help me see what I need to see here. Now, you know the texts, but take it all in. And try to see it through the eyes of the one who had a pretty big week ahead. And then read maybe one of those, Gospels all the way to Good Fridays or to the Lord's Supper, which was probably on a Thursday. And then come and join us on Friday. May he capture our attention and help us see the big picture. He wanted his people across time to have fixed in their minds and hearts and understand this day is loaded with significance. Let's pray. Would you stand with me, please? Heavenly Father, we ask you to meet with us, and we thank you that you have. Thank you, Lord, that we've said things like this was, you staged this event. It wasn't just acted out by a bunch of actors. It was in real time. We can't really imagine all that passed before your eyes. But I pray, Lord, that we'd understand that all this was going somewhere. From that ride down the Mount of Olives to the cross of Calvary and the empty tomb. Capture the gaze of our soul, Lord. And may you be day by day lifted up in thanksgiving and praise. May we this week, Lord, bless your name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.